Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a layered old-school drum and bass riser in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the smart way. Simple layers, stock devices, and minimal CPU load. A riser might seem like a small detail, but indeed NBeat it does a lot of heavy lifting. It creates tension before the drop, helps connect drum phrases, and gives the listener that feeling of momentum. In old-school-inspired DNB, the best risers usually aren't super polished. They're gritty, a little rough, maybe a bit tape-worn, and they feel like they belong in a jungle or roller arrangement, not a glossy EDM build. So the goal here is not to make the biggest riser ever. The goal is to make one that works in context, sounds authentic, and doesn't chew up your CPU. First, let's think like an arranger, not just a sound designer. In DNB, contrast is everything. A riser feels bigger when the section before it is restrained. If your drums, bass, and fills are already packed, the riser has less room to make an impact. So before you start building, make sure you know where this riser is going. Is it leading into an 8-bar drop, a 2-bar snare pickup, a fake out? That choice affects everything. For this tutorial, we'll build 3 layers. One layer for noise and brightness. One layer for synth movement. One layer for texture and grit. That's enough. Seriously. If 2 layers are doing the same job, remove one. In DNB, clarity beats complexity every time. Let's start with the noise layer. Create a track called Noise Rise and load Simpler. The easiest beginner-friendly option is to use a static noise sample or even a hat texture. Set Simpler to classic playback and turn loop on. This gives you a steady source that can be shaped into a rise without needing a heavy synth patch. Now add auto filter after it. Start with a high pass or a low pass depending on the vibe you want. For a darker old school build, I'd usually start more restrained and open it up over time. Keep the early part boring on purpose. That's a real trick. If the riser is exciting too early, it loses impact later. Automate the filter cutoff over 1, 2, or 4 bars. Try a slow start and a steeper finish. In Ableton, a curved automation shape often feels more musical than a straight line. That little curve can make the lift feel more believable. If you want the noise to feel a bit rougher and more underground, use a filtered hat loop or vinyl noise instead of bright white noise. That gives you movement without sounding shiny. Now for the synth layer. Create a second track called Synth Rise. For this, use an operator or wavetable. Keep it simple. One oscillator is enough. In operator, a saw or square wave works well. In wavetable, pick a basic saw shape and keep the unison low, maybe 2 voices max. We're going for movement, not a giant supersaw wall. Draw one MIDI note that lasts for the length of the riser. Then automate either the pitch upward or the filter cutoff upward. You can rise by around 7 to 12 semitones over a couple of bars, or simply open the filter from low to high. Either way, the ear hears increasing brightness and tension. For a more old-school feel, don't overpolish this layer. A little detune is fine. A little instability is even better. If you want to make it feel more tape-worn or jungle-like, add a tiny glide or a subtle wobble in the final half bar. This layer is the identity of the riser. The noise gives you lift, but the synth gives you the sense that something is actually moving. Now let's add the texture layer. Create a third track called Texture Hit. This should be short and characterful. You can use a crash tail, a reversed snare, a chopped break slice, a short vocal bit, or a metallic hit. Load it into Simpler and keep it quiet. This is not the star, it's the seasoning. Shape it with auto filter so it sits in the useful mid-range. Then add a little saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive if needed. If you want a slightly dirtier edge, you can add a touch of redux, but keep it subtle. The point is to make the riser feel produced and alive, not to make it sound like a separate effect fighting the other layers. Now balance the 3 parts. The noise layer gives brightness and lift. The synth layer gives tension and motion. The texture layer gives grit and attitude. A good starting point is to keep the noise a little lower in level, the synth slightly stronger, and the texture much quieter. If the result feels messy, don't reach for more effects first. Clean up the overlap. High pass the noise, low pass the texture. Let the synth own the mid-range. That kind of lane separation is one of the best habits you can build in DNB. Next, let's shape the movement with automation. This is where the riser becomes part of the composition. Use automation for filter cutoff, volume, reverb, stereo width, or delay send. You do not need to automate everything. In fact, too much movement can make the riser feel unfocused. A strong, simple combo is this. Open the auto filter over time. Bring in a little more reverb only near the end. Add a tiny bit of echo or delay on the final beat before the drop. Then cut it cleanly when the drop lands. That last part matters. Silence or a clean cut can hit harder than a giant wash. In darker DNB, a small gap before the drop can create a lot of tension. Also, think in phrases. Don't start the riser screaming from the first second. In a 16-bar build, maybe it begins subtly around bar 13, gets clear in bars 15 and 16, and peaks right before the drop. That gives the arrangement breathing room. Now let's glue the layers together lightly. You can group the riser layers or route them through a bus. Then use a Q8 to remove unnecessary low end, usually anything below around 120 to 200 Hz. That's especially important in DNB, where the sub needs space to slam later. If needed, add a small amount of saturator for thickness and maybe a very light glue compressor just to keep the layers feeling unified. We're talking subtle compression, not squashing. If you overcompress a riser, it can feel smaller and flatter instead of bigger. And if the top end gets harsh, especially around cymbals or hats, tame it with a gentle EQ dip. You want tension, not fizz. Now place the riser in a real DNB phrase. A classic setup might be the groove for 8 bars, a fill on bar 9, the riser entering quietly around bars 10 and 11, a snare roll or drum stop in bar 12, and then the drop on bar 13. Another common move is a short 2-bar riser before a switch up. That works really well in rollers, because it keeps the energy moving without killing the groove. If you're making jungle-leaning DNB, try putting the riser after a chopped break moment. That helps it feel like part of the track's language instead of a random effect dropped on top. Now always check it in context. Soloing the riser is useful, but the real test is how it behaves with the drums and bass. Ask yourself, does the sub disappear when the riser comes in? Does the snare lose punch because the riser is too bright? Does the build feel wide, but the drop suddenly feel narrow? If the riser is too dominant, lower it and strip out more low end. A strong DNB riser supports the groove. It does not compete with it. Here's a very important CPU tip. Resample it once you like it. Freeze and flatten if you want, or just bounce the riser to audio. This saves CPU, makes editing easier, and often gives you a more finished, old-school feel. Once it's audio, you can reverse the tail, chop the last quarter bar, warp it lightly, or add a short fade. That's a huge workflow win in Ableton Live 12. Especially in heavy DNB projects, freezing transition effects can keep your session fast and your mix cleaner. If you want to push the sound a bit further, here are a few great variations. Try a reverse pre-hit before the riser starts. A reversed crash or snare can create a suction effect that makes the build feel more intentional. Try a two-stage riser. Keep the first bar filtered and narrow, then make the second bar brighter, wider, and slightly louder. Try a tiny pitch drop right before the drop. That little drop in energy can make the actual drop hit harder. Or try rhythmic gating on the last bar so the riser pulses with the groove. That can make it feel more breakbeat and less generic. For darker and heavier DNB, keep the noise band limited, keep the stereo width controlled, and let the top end widen more than the low mids. That preserves punch. You can also add a little saturation before filtering to make the motion feel denser on smaller speakers. And remember this one. Make the last beat more active than the first. That's a classic tension trick. Keep the beginning simple. Then let the final half bar get dirtier, louder, and brighter. The drop will feel way bigger. Let's quickly recap the workflow. Use three simple layers. Noise for lift. Synth for movement. Texture for grit. Automate a few key parameters instead of stacking a bunch of effects. Keep the low end clean. Check the riser with the full arrangement. Then resample it if you want to save CPU and add character. In old school DNB, the best risers are not about being flashy. They're about serving the phrase. They help the track breathe, build, and slam harder when the drop lands. So keep it simple, keep it gritty, and let the drop do the talking. Now go build your riser, place it before a drop, and listen to how much bigger the whole section feels.